heart is a blue.
3:08. Happy Tuesday afternoon to you. Raj Taylor and Michael taking you home this afternoon. If you see anything out there on the roads that listeners should know about, Michael's the man to call, 382-4280-877-382-4280. If you see, be a traffic tipster. If you see anything that could interfere with people's getting home on time, let us know. We'll share it. Speaking of sharing, joining us now is Amy Harden. Amy is the author of Democracy-Tree, one of my favorite blogs. And happy afternoon to you there, Amy.
Hi, Roger. How are you today?
I'm just fine. Well, the GOP war on education seems to continue. Lisa Postumus-Lyons really doesn't much like teachers, even student teachers. Hello?
Yes, well, she doesn't like teachers a whole lot, apparently, and she's demonstrated that through her comments and actions over the last few years. But student teachers, she's made an exception for them in this particular case. I discovered quite a bit of hypocrisy on the part of Lyons and also other parties that I wrote about yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And to fully appreciate it, normally I don't do this, but I actually, you know, wrote down some notes and developed a timeline, put things in chronological order so we can fully appreciate the scope of the hypocrisy here. So if I may,
sure.
Let's start with the Education Achievement Authority, which is the state-run group of schools that were formed by Roy Roberts, the Detroit emergency manager, or Detroit Public Schools emergency manager.
Right.
He wanted to cut the dead weight from his schools, so he took 15 of them, the lowest 5%, and put them into the EAA. And they've had trouble funding it, and it hasn't been codified into law, and they've had to borrow $12 million from Detroit Public Schools secretly, and it's just been problematic all along, and Lisa Postumus-Lyons has been trying to push legislation to codify it into law so that they can actually tap into state dollars for it, so they don't have to go through Detroit Public Schools. So this is her pet project. And part of the EAA is they contracted with Eastern Michigan University, their Department of Education, for some program support and so forth. And so they have contracted with them, which has been upsetting to a lot of teachers in Michigan that have actually come out of that program and are now unionized, and they don't like the deterioration of public schools, what's happening under the Snyder administration. So Lyons, she recently, when two school districts were being dissolved, Buena Vista and Inkster school districts, due to fiscal problems, insolvency,
yes.
They
yes.
dissolved them. And at that time, there was a big debate as to whether the teachers from those school districts should get first priority in hiring in the surrounding districts where the schools were being or the students were being transferred to. And she said no, and then her infamous quote of pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered took place in that debate, and that was just a huge uproar across the state about that. Now, the Washtenaw County Education Association just...
Amy, can I interrupt for a second?
Please do.
Put into context what was that comment responding to, the pigs... comment.
Yes. Well, she has a different interpretation. She said that she was speaking of lobbyists getting involved in the education process and policymaking and so forth. But it took place in an argument as to whether these teachers should get any first priority on the jobs in the other surrounding districts and so forth. And she was just basically saying no, that their salaries were what drove these two school districts into insolvency, which simply isn't true. And that's a whole other argument. But the fact that she made that rather unprofessional comment, you know, in a public forum, is that's disturbing, you know, just on the face of it.
Mm-hmm.
And Just recently, Washtenaw County Education Association, which is a local member of the MEA, the Michigan Education Association, the largest union education union in the state, mm-hmm. They called upon local school districts not to accept student teachers from Eastern Michigan University because of their affiliation, their contractual affiliation with the Education Achievement Authority. And this is where the hypocrisy just really kicks into gear. After Lyons had called teachers, hogs and pigs and so forth, she is simply outraged about the fact that this union has called for this particular action. And she was quoted as saying that it's unbecoming of an education organization of any type to engage in that type of thing. So I found that rather amusing that she would say something like that is unbecoming.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the second part of the hypocrisy that you probably read in my blog, that right to work. Many state universities, I don't know whether Eastern Michigan University engaged in this, but as Right to Work was about to kick in and become law this last March, I believe it was, a lot of these universities were renegotiating contracts with their teachers, their faculty, long-term contracts that would skirt Right to Work laws.
Mm-hmm.
And our legislators at that time, the GOP legislators, I should say, were upset about that. And so they were making threats, if you recall, saying, well, we're going to withhold your state funding, which was a complete bluff. I mean, everyone knew that wasn't going to happen. But nonetheless, they went through with those particular threats, and then their bluff was called in the end, and they took their ball and went home. Well, this week, the Michigan Freedom Fund, which is the DeVos family funded organization,
yes,
we've talked about DeVos before. They were a strong advocate of the Right to Work law, and their spokesperson, Greg McNeely, was called upon Representative Gretchen Driscoll, who is a Democrat, to lean on the Washtenaw County Education Association to back off of this particular request. And what he said is that it's an attempt to strong-arm university administrators into rescinding their support of the EAA. That's a quote. So that's another form of hypocrisy just based this week on just this one thing. It's the pot calling the kettle black.
You got to admit they're consistent. They are opposed to public education, and at every opportunity they continue to be opposed to public education.
Yes, that is what we're seeing in the state, and in fact, that's one of the things that I'm researching right now. We're seeing some pushback that is mounting across not just Michigan, but across the United States, and there are various groups that are forming. And Governor Chris Christie's remarks to that teacher at his rally 2-3 days ago were very, very telling of the GOP attitude towards teachers. I mean, he just got right in his face and was pointing his finger and speaking rather crossly to her when she asked just a simple question about how he felt about public education.
Well, and his response is, you people are never satisfied. No matter how much money I give you, you're never satisfied. I thought the fact that he referred to the teaching profession as you people.
Yes, whenever anyone uses that particular set of words, it usually means there's a very negative bias going on. That's not good. It's a stereotype.
Yeah.
Type phrase.
Yeah. And some real insight into where that man's mind is.
That is true. And I think he shocked a lot of people, although he may, and I know we're off course here, but, in the course of his election and his campaign, he may have been trying to cater a little bit to the far right there. But he is full of bluster. There's no doubt about that. That's his personality.
Well, he needs every vote he can get in a Democratic state. And so trying to make a last-minute appeal to the Tea Partyists, you can understand why the guy would do that. It doesn't make it acceptable, but trying to get every last vote that's possible to be elected in a Democratic state, he's dancing as fast as he can.
Yes, doing the Neutron dance, that's for sure.
Yes.
A lot of politicians are.
So where do we go from here? Do you see anything? Is Eastern going to be boycotted? How do you see this turning out? Do you have any vision of the future?
Oh, well, I'll look in my crystal ball. And
no, does your gut tell you anything?
My gut tells me that those student teachers are going to have no trouble finding employment in these schools. That that this too is a bluff, but it, or a shot across the bow, as it were, to Eastern Michigan University. And at the time that they engaged in that contract, there was a lot of apologetic speech from them, saying things like that they weren't going to in any way get involved in union bashing or anything. They were just looking at the educational aspects of the EAA and being professional about it and so forth. But they are, you know, everyone becomes a political body when there's money involved in politics and unions and so forth.
Yeah, and they always say all politics are local.
That is true.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, Amy. I appreciate your joining us this afternoon to give us an update. And your blog is democracytree.com.
And from there, you can find me on Facebook and Twitter.
Thank you, ma'am. Have a good one.
Thank you, Roger.
Bye now.
Bye.
Amy Harden, one of my favorite blogs. Read it on a daily basis. And she does her research. 54 degrees. We'll get you a complete AccuWeather forecast coming up right after a news update from the 590WKZO.com newsroom. Weather brought to you by Bronson Vicksburg Outpatient Center, offering emergency care and lab work 24/7. Learn more at bronsonhealth.com. Got 54 degrees on the outside, and gas prices seem to be still inching downward. You know, the old cliche, they go up like a rocket and come down like a feather. Let's take a look at the gas prices in the Kalamazoo area. Starting off in Plainwell, $3.28 seems to be the best price on the M89 strip there, adjacent to US 131. Up Hastings Way, $3.35 at a number of locations. In Pawpaw, if I could get my computer to cooperate. The best price, $3.29 at a number of locations in Pawpaw, and $3.28 if you head north to M40 and M43. Down Three Rivers Way, gas is $3.27 at the Meyer on the west side of Three Rivers, right along 131. Sturgis remains the lowest price in the area, $3.17 at just about every station in Sturgis. $3.24, the best price in Battle Creek, that at 11 Mile and 994 on the east side of Battle Creek. The best price, the absolute best price in Kalamazoo, for reasons that I have no explanation, 316 in Richland, 319 at a number of stations along Gull Road, and elsewhere through town, we see 328. In the low threes at a number of locations, but 327 seems to be the most common price, except along Gull Road. 319 there, but if you're shopping for a bargain, head Richland way. Gas price there, just 316. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, we'll get an update on the AccuWeather forecast. We'll see just how much rain we're going to get. Coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, we're going to talk with Don Hazard from Consumers for Healthcare. This is the group that is helping people sign up for Obamacare. And there are some myths out there. I know, hard to believe, but there are some myths about Obamacare, and we're going to talk about them in the first part of the 4 o'clock hour. And in the second part of the 4 o'clock hour, we're going to talk with Jill Fritz from the Michigan Humane Society. From the Michigan chapter of the Humane Society of the United States. I have to get that right. And she's going to join us to talk about a couple of things. The Humane Society of the United States Michigan chapter is very involved in the wolf hunt in the UP, and we'll get a quick update from her if there's been any more developments in the admitting by Senator Casperson that he had been bamboozled. He had been led astray, as it were, by pro-hunting people. And we'll find out if there's any chance we're going to undo the killing of wolves in the UP starting up here in, my gosh, just 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks. And but the main reason we're going to talk to Jill is the state is on the verge of ending gassing of excess pets at the animal control centers in the state, and banning the euthanizing by gas. And at least we will begin to do that in a more humane way. Well, that's why the Humane Society is involved in that. I know my youngest pet I have is a animal rescue, and she was rescued from the Kalamazoo Animal Control Facility on her kill date, and she's got a lifetime home now. Here's CBS. Roger and Michael with you on the way home this afternoon. We got a big shield of rain off to the west, and it's heading in a northwesterly direction. So for now, we had a little line of showers go through just in time for Michael to arrive to work this afternoon. But most of the rain continues to be off to our west. Here in just a couple, well, right now, we're going to talk with AccuWeather meteorologist Bob Larson, and we'll find out if that rain is going to stay off to our west. Hi, Bob.
Hey, good afternoon, Roger.
Looking at radar, a lot of Wisconsin is green and moving to the northeast. Are we going to miss this rain?
No, we're not going to miss this rain. The individual rain elements are moving northeast, but the entire area of rain is shifting eastward with the front. So we are going to get the wet weather.
Ah, nuts. I was trying to weave a tale here, and you rained on my parade.
Right. Well, yeah, kind of literally. The one thing we're not going to get is what's happening on the other side of that front.
And
that is snow. There is a winter weather advisory for Minneapolis, expecting a few inches of snow there. Much more significant snowfall in parts of South Dakota and Nebraska and Colorado, several inches. In some cases, at least on grassy areas. But that's on the cold side of the storm. We'll stay on the mild side of the system. So it's rain that we're talking about and not snow.
Is all the snow that South Dakota, the Rapid City area, has been getting already this year, is that abnormal for them? Or do they, because of their elevation, do they get snow as frequently as they did in October? A couple of major storms.
Yeah, in fact, that one really bad storm in early October, the first week of October, that was a little bit anomalous, but it's not unusual for them to have early season snow. This year, certainly more than what we would typically expect. It happened both more often and higher amounts, but they're a common place to get early season storms that come out of the Rockies and up into the high plains. This year seemed to be exceptionally snowy to start, but certainly that is a snowy place.
All right. And what is our word of the day?
The word is gray, and that's not great. Gray. It's something that we find a lot of in November, gray skies.
Mm-hmm.
And the gray skies now will lead to some rainfall. There are already a scattering of showers in the area
this afternoon,
and that'll be the case into this evening. The bulk of the rain, the steadier rain that we see over Wisconsin right now, that's coming here late tonight and tomorrow morning. And then it should back off to showers again tomorrow afternoon. I think we catch a break in the rain tomorrow night, dries out, but doesn't really clear all that much. And then we deal with the lake effect, cold winds, and a couple of the lake effect showers Thursday. Maybe some wet snowflakes mixed in. No accumulation because temperatures will be in the 40s. But again, a cloudy gray sky. And that's something we'll have to get used to. We see a lot of this in November. On average, November is the cloudiest month of the year.
I didn't realize that. Huh.
Yeah, although it's not as though it's not dramatically sunnier in December and January, but November does tend to have its share of overcast days.
Yesterday was talking to a guest who lives near Marquette, and they had added snow to their forecast. Is this going to turn to snow in the northern part of the state?
Yeah, they're going to wind up with that, if not so much from the actual storm itself. Certainly what comes behind it, they will. The rain will mix with snow overnight there, maybe a slushy inch if it changes over fast enough. And then it's frequent snow showers tomorrow and tomorrow night that could leave up to a few inches worth of accumulation.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what you get in the UP.
That's right.
But no snow here, at least no accumulating.
Right. We
snow.
Might actually see some in the air on Thursday evening, but I suspect it won't accumulate. It appears as though it will definitely be cold enough to support snow at cloud level, but surface temperatures in the 40s won't really be able to produce much of an accumulation. So it might be kind of a mixed at that. And just, again, a couple of lake effect showers of rain or rain and snow, not the steady a steady precipitation. Now, it's going to be relatively mild by November standards here in the short term. It may not drop below or much below 50 overnight and back well into the 50s tomorrow, but then the colder air pours in tomorrow night and Thursday, 35 tomorrow night, 45 for a high on Thursday, and then Thursday night into Friday morning could dip below freezing.
Ooh, brisk.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Have a good one.
We'll
talk to you tomorrow.
Talk to you then.
Bob Larson, AccuWeather extraordinaire, meteorologist extraordinaire. And at least that's what Jim McKinney has taught me to say. Okay, Michael, you look like you're pregnant with something to share.
Well, that's a way to describe it. I don't really have anything. I know you were talking about me getting rained on coming in here. That was a little inconvenient, but I was able to dodge most of the drops.
Ah. I saw you running in a serpentine manner through the parking lot. I wondered what you were doing.
Yeah, and, trying to get in as fast as I could.
And avoiding each drop as it fell, huh?
Yes. I didn't get rained on when I went for my 3-mile run today, so that was good.
3 miles?
Yeah.
Where did you end up? Back where you started?
Back where I started. Just did a loop around the neighborhood in Richland.
Someday you'll explain to me why it is you do that. But 590 WKZO time is 3:46. Degrees. The rain has let up for the most part here. Well, this morning in a hearing on Obamacare implementation, Senate Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions, the HELP Committee Chairman, Senator Tom Harkin from Iowa, offered a powerful rebuttal to those criticizing the Affordable Care Act's inclusion of maternity care coverage as one of 10 essential health benefits, categories that insurance companies must offer consumers under the new ACA. ACA critics have held up the maternity coverage requirement as a prime example of excessive Obamacare regulation. They say it'll drive up insurance policy prices by forcing plans to include frilly benefits that a consumer may not need. Frilly benefits. Representative Renee Elmers from North Carolina, a Republican, sarcastically asked Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius if she had ever heard of a man giving birth during a House hearing last week. And numerous critical media accounts have picked up on that argument. Harkin responded to the line of thinking by comparing the overall society value of the coverage requirement to the value of public education, which is funded through property taxes. Harkin, this is a quote, said, "Now, I must say that there was a story the other day in the paper about somebody who said, 'Now I have to take this policy that covers maternity leave. My wife and I are not having children anymore. Why should I have to have a policy that covers maternity care?' I got to thinking about it. I thought, you know what? Maybe because my wife and I do not plan on having any more children and our existing children are grown up, maybe I should not have to pay property taxes to support local schools. Why should I worry about it? Maybe only people who have kids going to public schools should pay for it. We are better than that in this country. We're talking about being a part of our society. It is to benefit my wife and I to support our local schools because that's where our next generation is coming from. We want them well taught. Same with health care. It's a values system. And I have to admit that I agree. My wife and I have never had children, and I have voted for every school millage request that has come down the pike, even though I don't send my dogs to school. Well, one of them is going to obedience school, but that's a whole different matter. In 2012, a National Woman's Law Center study found that even including states that already mandated maternity coverage before the ACA was passed, just 12% of the total individual health plans in the country offered women maternity benefits. And yes, just because the birthing takes place all in one sex doesn't mean that it's not a part of the human experience. It's a part of the real world that humans live in. And asking the question, have you ever seen a man that gave birth? That had to have been one of the dumbest questions I've ever heard. Of course, men do not give birth, but men are involved in the birth process. Try as they might, women can't do it all by themselves. And it's like education. It's something that societies do. Our country has some of the weakest laws when it comes to maternity benefits and time off work when a new family member comes into the family. 382-4280, 877-382-4280. Do you agree with me giving birth is a part of the human experience, and just because only women do the physical act of giving birth, should that mean that only women that women should pay extra because they can give birth, even though it takes two to tango, sort of to speak? Why is it women should have to pay the full boat and men who are involved in that process get a free ride? This makes every man in the country a moocher. They don't have to worry about the expense of a pregnancy and giving birth because that's a woman's problem. I'll let the women worry about that and pay for it. Of course, we don't pay women equal pay, and so the fact that they make 25% less simply because they're women doesn't interfere with their ability to pay more for health insurance. I don't get these folks in Washington. This is just silliness. Have you ever seen a man give birth? How can a representative of a country sound so stupid? Rather cloudy this afternoon, a high of 58. Tonight, cloudy and breezy, periods of rain, especially late tonight, and a low of 49. Breezy, mild tomorrow, periods of rain, and a high 56. Thursday, cloudy, brisk, much chillier with a snow shower or a rain shower, and a high of 45. We've got 54 degrees in Kalamazoo. Winds are out of the east-southeast at 2, 3, 4, 5 miles an hour. Gusts a little higher than that. And you heard Bob. He said that there's some snow out there in the forecast, not accumulating, not that you're going to have to take your Toro for a walk. Do you have a driveway you have to shovel, Michael?
Yeah, I do.
Do you have a snow handling device?
Yes, my parents actually bought me a snowblower at a garage sale just a couple of months ago. It was, had only been used twice as well, so it's in good condition, and it didn't cost a lot either.
Do you have sidewalks in front of your house?
There are sidewalks that I will have to plow.
Okay. And do you have any neighbors that, seniors that will need any help with your new barely used snowblower?
No, I believe my neighbors could handle it.
Okay. Okay. Will you come and do my driveway?
How long is your driveway?
Oh,
is it like a quarter mile long driveway?
No, it's maybe 100 feet, 150
okay.
feet.
I could handle that.
Okay. Jot down your phone number. My wife goes to work early, so I'll need you out there by 4 or 5 in the morning.
Okay, early wake-up call.
Yeah, and but trust me, I'll do that, no charge. I'll call you and get you ready for the day whenever it snows. I don't think I'm going to need you Thursday. Bob said most of the snow will melt by the time it gets to the ground.
Okay.
And so maybe next week, and then I can count on you all winter long.
All right.
Okay. I don't think he's really agreeing with me, folks.
Yeah, I was going to ask you how much you were going to pay me, and then you said it was free of charge. I was like, oh, no.
No, I'm not going to charge you for the wake-up call. I will actually get up early.
Okay.
And call you.
Trifecta continues after CBS News and Kalamazoo's news from the WKZO.com newsroom on 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.